listening and thinking about it. I thought I'd just this morning, instead of doing the seals, that I'd just go back over what he taught. I certainly don't have anything that differs with what he taught, but it's something I think we all ought to think about. Brent gave an exposition out of the 7th chapter of Luke from about verse 36 down to the final verse, verse 50. So, if you will, open your Bibles to Luke, the 7th chapter, verse 36. But keep your finger there, because I want us to start off somewhere else. I want us to go to John chapter 8. And we're going to take a look at a verse in John 8 and 32. Okay, John 8, 31. We'll begin with verse 31. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Verse 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then down in verse 36, it says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I don't know how many times I've heard this statement made, either where it was within earshot or spoken directly to me. "Yeah, I know what you Baptists believe. You believe that once you get saved, you can do anything you want and still go to heaven." And then it's usually followed up, not always, but usually, with this comment: "Why, if I believe that, I'd go out and live like the devil. I'd go out and sin and have a good time. If I thought that I was going to go to heaven no matter what I did, I just enjoy life to the fullest down here." Well, from a secular sense, and in a lost person's mind, that makes a lot of sense. But the truth of the matter is, after you're saved, you're supposed to learn something. He said very clearly, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What I've discovered in my life, and I've observed in the lives of others, we don't realize how sinful we are when we get saved. And after we get saved, if we continue in the word and are honest with ourselves and with God, we begin to see ourselves for what we really are. And we begin to see what God set us free from. And instead of going out and living like the devil, and instead of doing all the things that we could do, we don't. Because the more you understand how gracious God is, and the more you come to understand how much He forgave you of, and how totally indebted you are to Him, and yet He sets you free. Free to make a choice every moment of your life, whether to sin or not to sin. And yet gave you the assurance that if the Son set you free, you'd be free indeed. The more you want to serve Him. You don't want to go out and do those things then. Because the more you come to understand Christ, and you understand the gift of God, and you really begin to see how much grace God extended to you, instead of wanting to go out and do all those things, it makes you feel a million times more guilty when you do. And the Spirit of Christ within you is continually there to remember you and remind you. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to this example that Brent gave this morning in Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 36. And I've never preached this before, but as Brent was going through this and he was talking about it, a lot of things came in my mind. What he was saying and some other things. "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner." Now, many say this was Mary Magdalene. May well have been. But the truth is, the woman was a sinner. And usually this characteristic that is described here in Matthew and Luke means a prostitute. She was a prostitute. Well, you can't get any worse than that, can you? "When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, Doesn't say the ointment was the precious ointment like Mary of Bethany brought, but nevertheless it was expensive ointment. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Here is a person who knew exactly what she was. She understood how God looked upon her, and she looked upon herself in the same way. She didn't have any problem at all with knowing that she was a woman who was very sinful. She must have fought a terrible fight against her flesh. Maybe she was thrown into prostitution because her husband divorced her. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe she had no real choice in the matter. The Bible doesn't say. But the Bible does say that she was a sinner. She knew she was a sinner. And she was doing everything she could to show love and compassion and gratitude to Jesus Christ. There's no question, I believe, that she believed he was the Messiah, though she would have never done this in public. This must have been terribly embarrassing for her. But she showed a very great love for Christ. And it was because she realized what a great sinner she was. I've been pastoring here now for 25 years. I know all of you. And you know me. I know most of the people in Dardanelle. I've traveled all over the country. I've known many people. What makes men and women useful to God? It's when they begin to realize what great sinners they really are and begin to see how much God forgave them and how much they owe God. It's a debt that can never be repaid. And when they begin to see the graciousness of God that forgave them for this terrible person that they are, and in their own mind they see themselves as very sinful, then they are desperate in some way to serve God. Not to be saved, but out of a heart that's filled with gratitude and thanksgiving that God would save them, the chief of sinners. What we're really talking about here is an attitude that you have within yourself of what you think you are and who you think you are. And no one can get inside you except you and the Spirit of God. It's something I've come to realize over the years. I look upon myself as a much greater sinner than I ever realized the night I was saved. I never realized how prejudicial I am. I never realized how one-sided and how much favoritism I show. I never realized that the depths of my sin was basically how I was born, and it only got worse as I grew older. I thank God those things He taught me, and I've learned them. I'm very grateful to God for what He's done. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I think one of the real problems in our churches today is that after people get saved, instead of realizing more and more how truly gracious God was to them, as they see themselves in the flesh as greater and greater sinners, that their coming to church is not out of thanksgiving to God for the gracious act that He performed at Calvary, but is something they do out of a sense of duty that tends to make them in their own mind better than others. Luke 7 and 39. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman that this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Well, Jesus did know who the woman was. Jesus knew she was a prostitute. Jesus knew all about her. He knew the total depth of her sin. God knows the depth of our sin. He knows the depth of our own inner personalities. He knows what we're really like inside, not the subterfuge we put on the outside. He gets into our souls and He examines us. He knew what the Pharisee was thinking, and He knew what the woman was. He loved the Pharisee. He loved the woman. He loved them both. So He began to try to help the Pharisee. And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, Luke 7:41. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. 500 pence is a lot of money. It's a denarion. The other 50. One person owed him a lot. The other person didn't owe him much at all. And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, we are all born with a debt. It's a debt to Almighty God. It's a debt that Christ paid at Calvary. It's a debt that he paid with his own blood when he bought us back from the devil and from our own sinful condition and paid the price of blood. So the question is, just how grateful are we? And just why is our inner personality, our inner being serving God? And what's the motivation behind it? And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Well, the answer is obvious. He gives a secular example with an earthly parable that the man can't possibly goof up. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. The night I got saved, I was just thankful to God that I didn't have to go to hell. I didn't understand what I've been talking to you about now. I didn't even know what the word redemption meant. I had no idea what justification meant. I had no idea that I had to have Christ's righteousness imputed to me. I had no idea of the things which, as I have continued in the Word, I have learned. But I knew I was hell-bound, and I knew I was a sinner. And I was afraid of hell, and I knew that Jesus could save me. And I asked Jesus to save me. I trusted him, and he did. Well, in my mind, I was a sinner. Sin to me was smoking corn silk out behind the barn. It was looking across the lawn at night at Lula Bess Fox when she undressed. It was lying to my grandmother. To me, that was sin. And that is sin. And so I was grateful to Christ because now I wouldn't have to go to hell for smoking corn silk, looking at Lula Beth Fox, and lying to my grandmother. And I was grateful to the Lord. But how grateful was I? You see, in my own mind, I didn't think I was all that bad. Oh, I was saved, make no mistake about it. And I didn't continue in the Word. Finally, the Holy Spirit convicted me enough to where I knew I needed to be baptized directly, so I submitted to baptism. 55 years ago, I was saved. And at age 23, I was scripturally baptized. I still didn't continue in the Word. But I was grateful to God that I didn't have to go to hell. And I really didn't think I was all that bad a person. Because after all, I love my mother. I love my wife and my children. I tried not to lie. I tried to be fair. I tried to treat people justly. And I was a sinner. There was no problem with that. But after all, I had some pretty good qualities. And so my attendance at church was very erratic. And the only time I ever went to church was when God's Holy Spirit finally just got to convicting me so bad that out of a sense of duty, I drug myself down there. When I was 38 years old, in a hotel room in Omaha, Nebraska, I had gone there for a conference on some things that were classified. And for the first time in many years, I was alone. I sat on the side of the bed, and I began to think. First time I'd really had a chance to think for a long time. And I began to get just the initial top water of the iceberg of a lot of sins in my life that I had covered over, that I had rationalized. Because after all, I was a pretty good old boy. I was just as saved then as I am now. But as these things began to flow through my mind, I began to see the tip of the iceberg. The iceberg is sin. And I began to see the tip of it. And I began to see that even though I was a pretty good old boy, those things I was doing as a pretty good old boy were not for God. They were to placate God. And they were not for men and women. They were so men and women would like me. So they would respect me. So they would admire me. So I would be accepted. And I began to see, Tom, there's a lot more wrong with you than you realize. God called me into the ministry at that time. And I began to study God's word and I began to continue in it. An amazing thing happened. I was always saved. I've been saved for 55 years. But as I began to see in this word who I really am and what I really am, I began to be so grateful to God that I couldn't help but serve Him. I don't dare stop serving Him, not out of fear. I owe Him everything. I am the chief of sinners. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, you don't cheat on your wife. We haven't caught you in any lies. You haven't stolen any church money. So how can you be the chief of sinners? Because God's word has taught me who I am and what I am. And I keep hoping in all your lives, God will do the same. Because when you come to realize what a great sinner you really are and how really irrational and erratic and self-centered and self-serving you truly are, then it draws you to Christ as the only hope you have and makes you see how gracious God is and how much He forgave you. I started off in John 8, 31, 32. Talked about John 8, 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know what I learned? I learned that even though I am the chief of sinners, there's not one good thing about me except Jesus Christ. That God's Son has set me free from the condemnation of God, and that there is nothing I can ever do that will separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, and I will never go to hell. Never. When that happened, the iceberg began to come up. When it came up and I saw how much God had forgiven me of, then with thanksgiving and from a heart that is filled with gratitude to God, I determined, God, whatever you want, I'll do. Now, I talked about John 8, 32 and 36. The problem with a lot of people is they think in other religions, other groups. They say, why, if you believe that you could do anything you want and still go to heaven, why, you'd quit serving God. That's not true. Because when you see how much God's Son has forgiven you, then you begin to be so grateful to Him that you don't dare not to continue, not because you're afraid of God, but because you love God. I love God. You've never heard me say that much, have you? Took me a long time to come to love Him. And the way I came to love Him was that I came to realize that the only way I have any love is that love that was shed abroad in my heart when Christ Jesus saved me, and He's a very loving Spirit, and He's within inside me, and He saved me from what I am, the chief of sinners. The more that you realize that God has forgiven you, the more you realize that God has forgiven you, then the more grateful you're going to be, and the more you'll show your love from Him. So this business of once saved, always saved, that people are always making fun of us and saying, why, if I believe that, I'd do anything I want, it isn't true. Because once you see how gracious God has been to you with His marvelous salvation and His Son, you want to serve Him. And show me a church that's filled with people that realize they're great sinners and they're grateful to God for His graciousness and they want to serve God, and I'll show you a church that has peace and harmony and love and tranquility and all the fruit that God meant for it to have. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the greatest problem in our churches today is that the people on church pews don't love God. And the reason they don't love God is because they've never come to realize how much God has forgiven them and how totally indebted they are to Jesus Christ. Taking a look in Luke 7 and 42. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them. Tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said, thou hast rightly judged. One man owed him 500 pence. The other owed him 50. Did the one who owed him 50, was he really less a sinner than the one who owed him 500? Not really, except in his own mind. Every one of you sitting here this morning has something that you cannot deny. In some way, somehow, you have a concept of how great a sinner you are in comparison to the other people around you. It's a natural human thing that happens in our mind. And some people think, well, I'm a sinner, but I'm not as big a sinner as Darryl Berry. Or I'm a sinner, but I'm not as big a sinner as Jack Branch. Well, in that case, you're probably right. But they have all kinds of concepts. But the person that loves God is the person who comes to realize, I owe God everything, and I am a much greater sinner than I ever realized in my life. You say, well, I know a lot of people that don't believe they're great sinners and they come to church. Sure they do. Very faithful attenders, because God expects it of them. But they never learn to come just because they love God, because he's forgiven them so great a debt. He used an illustration here. One man that owed 50, the other, I think, 500 or whatever. But what he was trying to get across to this Pharisee is, you think that you're not too great a sinner. But this woman is. Environmental circumstances cause people to a large extent to have different influence on their lives from others. And we tend to look down our long pointed noses at all these other people who don't have nice clothes and can't put on cologne. And they must be great sinners, but not us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I was born a sinner. I'm still a sinner in the flesh. I'm a man whom God forgave his sins. I am the chief of sinners. And I'm not saying that facetiously. In my own mind, I am the chief of sinners. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, if we put all of Jack Branch's sins over there against yours, who'd have the greatest number of sins? Well, Jack thinks he would. Don't you, Jack? Jack, I probably got more than you have. Because there are more sins that we think about other people, that we judge them, we classify them. And we are the greater sinners. That's what this man was. His sin was judgment over others, rather than to see the depth of his own sin. And he turned to the woman and said, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. People that never see in their own minds, in their own hearts, how great sinners they really are. They never come to understand it. I'm not talking about lost people here. I'm talking about people that are saved. And they never continue in the Word long enough to see themselves. They may listen to the Word preached. They may read the Word themselves. But they never see the Bible as a mirror to reveal to them what they are, and they always see themselves as a cut above the rest. And that isn't true. And they never do love God. the way that a person is that comes to see himself in the book and said, "Oh no, I'm convicted." And when Brent gave his devotional about the tongue, that tongue is going to commit sin because it's connected to that mind. And you're going to say unkind things about other people, unkind things about church members, and you're going to have inner emotions that are unpleasing to God, even if you don't show them on the outside and inside. They're there and they're real. And you serve God out of a sense of duty and responsibility, and you serve Him in fear. Well, I serve Him in fear, reverential respect, but I serve God because I love Him, because God forgave me much. I truly am the chief of sinners. I am. I know what I am, and I know who He is, and I know what my motives are, and I know what my aspirations are, and I know who my carnal man is. I found Him in this book. Pogo Possum, down in Okefenokee Swamp, had a buddy named Albert Alligator. And Albert Alligator, in one cartoon I saw, had a great big helmet on and a sword in his hand. And he said, "We has met the enemy, and they is us. We are our own worst enemy, only because we will never acknowledge to ourselves how totally helpless, sinful, and ungodly we are. And unless Christ had come and entered into us and saved us by His grace, we could never have been forgiven." Why do I love God now? And why didn't I love Him after I was first saved? I didn't continue in the Word. I never saw myself for the sinner that I truly am. You say, "Well, now, Brother McElmurray, you've seen yourself in the depths of your sin, so now you've reached a level of perfection." No, God forbid. Next year, I'll be a greater sinner in my own eyes than I was this year. We're talking about the way you look at yourself. So this idea, "If the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed," which we Baptists are so adamant in presenting and telling the world, we believe that once Jesus Christ comes to enter you, once you're born again, once you're saved, He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and you're saved forever. That's absolutely true. And their retort to this, in groups that believe you can lose your salvation, which are most of them, is a very simple one. They say, "Well, if I believe that, I'd do anything I wanted to do." No, they wouldn't. Because if they believed that, they'd see themselves for the sinners they were, and they would come to church and serve God because they loved Him. And He said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." You know, that's what Jesus said to me 55 years ago. "Thy sins are forgiven." My sins were forgiven, and I didn't have to go to hell. But after that, when I began to continue to sin, I began to wonder, well, maybe if I continue to sin, maybe He died for all my sins before I was saved, but now if I sin, I'll go to hell. Jack, that's why you, the Free Will Baptist. It's a natural thing. But finally, what happens is, if you ever get enough of God's Word in you, and you are saved, you'll begin to understand that Christ put your sins to death in His flesh and died for them, and He made you dead to sin. And if you're dead, you can't be put on trial. And if you've already been crucified for it in Christ, you can't be sent to hell for it. So if you're dead in Christ, how are you going to be sentenced to death if you're dead? That's the point. I'm very grateful to Christ, more grateful than I've ever been in my life. Because I've realized now what He did for me. He set me free with a choice to either serve sin or to serve Him. I choose to serve Christ, not sin. I choose to serve Christ, not sin. Does that mean I can live above sin? God forbid. But if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I confess them daily and moment by moment. But the reason I've been your pastor and continued here has been the love and grace of Almighty God and the realization with each passing year that I was a greater sinner than I thought the year before. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sin? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. She knew who he was. And she came there seeking forgiveness. She knew what she was. She knew what she had done. She knew what she was doing. And she came seeking forgiveness. She had faith that this man was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And she realized that her sins had to be forgiven by God, no one else. And because she believed God had sent this man, she came before him as a sinner, bowing before him and washing his feet, acknowledging her helplessness, and throwing herself upon the mercy that was in him. And she was saved by grace through faith, just like the publican. He came to God helpless, beating on his breast, and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Well, we've been talking about judgment. What we're going to be judged for, as far as heaven or hell is concerned, is whether or not when Jesus comes back, we have been saved by grace through faith. As far as heaven or hell is concerned, here's what it boils down to. If you believe that Jesus Christ put away your sins in his flesh, and when you came to him and asked for salvation, he forgave you, then what he did was to take away all your sins, past, present, and future, and set you free. You're not going to hell, my friend, with your faith in Jesus Christ. You're going to hell because you try to put away your own sins. You try to cover up what you are, and you try to act holy on the outside, when inside you're a raging mess. People go to hell because they won't receive Christ. But if you have received Christ, and if you do know Christ, then if you look in this book and study it, you'll discover how free you are. And you'll discover that you can't lose your salvation. And you'll discover he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you'll discover that you've been passed from death to life. And while you're doing all this, you'll be discovering that you were a much greater sinner than you ever realized when you were saved. And it will make you more grateful to Christ, more thankful to Christ. It will make you want to serve him more, and nobody can make you stop serving Christ once you come to understand how gracious he is. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. You'll come to church. You'll be faithful in church. You won't wear your feelings on your shirt sleeve. You won't find justification to quit worshiping God in the place that he designated. But until you grow up, and you don't grow up until you realize how sinful you are, because that's what makes you more grateful to God for what he's given you, then you'll be self-motivating, because Christ living inside you will be able to work with you, because you'll admit to yourself what you are. And you won't have to be motivated to come to church. And you won't have to like the pastor to come to church. And you won't mumble and grumble and complain about anything all the time. You'll be so grateful to Christ, you won't have time for anything else. That's what life is all about. Finding out how gracious God truly is. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence thanking you for the mercy and grace that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm sorry I didn't realize how sinful I was when I was saved. I was a sinner to the utmost in my mind at that time. But Lord, with the passage of time, you showed me in your word the debt that I could never repay. And I say with Paul, I am the chief of sinners. I thank you for your amazing grace. In Jesus' precious name and for his sake, I ask these things. Amen.